One of the things that a child will do is they grow up, they wonder why that adults don't treat them like adults when they're children and growing up. And part of that is because they say that they want to be treated like adults, but they're not acting like adults. And how do you, that's different for different people. It's different. Different mindsets, but you can't do something for somebody that they're not ready for. It's like trying to teach a dog algebra. It just doesn't click. You can look at a two-year-old, and when you say, "Go throw this away," you know what they're going to do? They're going to take it, they're going to run to the trash can, and they're going to do exactly what you said. So they can understand. That's a very simple command. They can understand. But when you try, if you were to try to teach them something basic, like, okay, 3 plus 3, how much is that? Okay? Now, anybody with any sense that would understand what math is, if they didn't know what 3 plus 3 was, they could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They could count your fingers that are up. But trying to teach a two-year-old that, they can't wrap their minds around it. And so we understand that by looking at them. But yet as adults, the ones in this room, the adults, we say one thing, but then when we examine our actions, we realize that we're acting like children. For example, if we was to ask, who is worthy of the blood of Christ? Do you start thinking of other people, or you just say no one? Was it one of those two? Do you start thinking of some people that would be worthy of the blood of Christ, some people that would not, or would you just say no one? You see, I think that in the beginning, as we're young Christians and as we start to mature, because it doesn't depend on this color, right? It depends on the depth, the growth in Christ. And so we can be in the church for 20 years and not know much more than a Christian has been in there for 1 year. And we could be there in 1 year and know more than someone who's been in there for 20 years. And why? Because we listen, we grow. And so when we're asked the question, who is worthy of the blood of Christ, we would think, obviously, well, no one. But in our mind, did we include ourselves in that statement? Were we thinking about ourselves first? Was that the first thought that I am not worthy, no one's worthy? Or was our first thought no one's worthy? It makes a difference. It makes a difference because being an adult, one of the first signs of being an adult is personal accountability. Personal accountability. You can be 25 years old and you can run from that accountability. I would know. Because I always thought that I could get out of whatever I got myself into. Until I met someone that said, instead of thinking, can you get out of it, ask yourself, are the consequences worth it? And that changed the entire way that I looked at things. You see, that's growing up. Because no matter how slick you are, no matter how cool you are, no matter how fast you are, how strong you are, one day you're going to slip up, you're going to face those consequences. So if you always ask yourself, is it worth the consequences? Changes your whole mindset. Like I said, if that's a personal accountability, because you're not going to put the blame on someone else. You're not going to say, well, this person did this, or it was this excuse, or whatever. It's going to be personal accountability. Nope, I did it. And they say, well, they could have. Nope, I did it. It was me. And so when you ask who is worthy of the blood of Christ, your first response would be, certainly not me. And was that your first response? Was it that or just no one's worthy? Did we just lump everybody into the same, you know? Because that's easier. If we fit into a group, we're not alone. That's easier. We sure can act like some are and some aren't. We sure act like that some people are more worthy of the blood of Christ than others. Because for some people, we would go to great lengths, and for others, we won't go to too great a length. Mark 9:33 through 35. What is it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But it's the apostles, they were talking. But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, Jesus, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you read this verse? The thing that always stood out first was the response of Jesus. I know I have this up here somewhere, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's because we've been conditioned that when Jesus speaks, we listen. Jesus said something. What did he say? The red letters. Jesus said this. We pay attention. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He says, if you want to be first, you're going to be last. You're going to be the servant of all. So if your heart's desire is that you are the best in the kingdom of God, or you are at the best in the eyes of God, you will be nothing in the eyes of the world. You will be a servant to anyone. And see, that's always what stood out first to me, because that's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Why would he have to tell people this? Because this is what we do. This is what we do. And in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So in honor of Jesus saying that if anyone desires to be first, he shall be the servant of all. Because this is what Jesus said. He spoke it. We heard it. We want to do it. And so in honor of him saying this, we do for the less fortunate. But we love to tell everybody about what we're doing. Because Jesus said he wants you to do this. And we want people to know that we are doing what Jesus said. We're doing for the less fortunate. We're doing this. We're doing that. First, when Jesus said it, we listened and we did it. So in honor of that, we become like hypocrites. We blast a trumpet for everybody to know what we're doing. We tell everybody because we like that. But Jesus warned us. He said, you do that, right? That's not personal accountability. I'm going to show you that in just a second. That's not personal accountability. He says, you do that because you want the glory from men. And he says, you'll get your reward. People will look at you and think you're something. You'll get your reward. But he said, you won't get anything from me. There's a lot of people that do things that never say a word. And there's people that do things that they mention it. But Jesus said, be a servant. So we announced to everybody, we're a servant. We get into an argument. You know what me and my wife do? Well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this. What about when I did this? You see, that's what we do. You want me to take out the trash? I've worked all day. I've worked 12 hours, and then you can't take out the trash? Well, I've come home and washed the dishes and put the clothes in, and I've mopped the floor, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I've done this, you've done that. You see, that's what we do. We like to announce the good deeds and the things that we have done. Why? Because Jesus said, he said, that's important. I said it, you do it. It's important. So we let everybody know. But Jesus said, this is not personal accountability. Be careful, because when you do that, I seek to get my wife to say, huh, wow, you are a hardworking man. Right? Or she wants me to say, you know what? You have worked really hard today. The place looks great. I'll take care of this. They want acknowledgement from one another. You see, a heart that doesn't want acknowledgement, a heart that is not into the hypocrisy that he's talking about here. Watch this, I'll show you. Let's look at our opening statement again. I'll read it again. Excuse me. Mark 9:33 through 35. What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. Excuse me. For on the road they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all, servant of all. Now that we've talked a little bit about this, what really stands out in this verse? You see, we've always been focused on Jesus, what Jesus says, the red letters. Jesus is answering a question. So when we focus on the answer of the question and go forward, we're not really looking at what happened before that. You see, a heart of discernment, a heart that is interested in what Jesus is talking about to be last, they would have caught this. They would have caught this. And I've read this for years. And I've any time that we see Jesus speak, it's like you turn the volume on your hearing aid up. I don't wear those yet, but I will someday probably. You turn the volume on your hearing aid up and you see, now what did Jesus say? But see, he was responding to people who were saying, I wonder which one of you is the greatest. You see problem with that, with people acting that way? Who do you think's the greatest in this room? Is it me because I preach? Is it you because you come here every Sunday? Is it because of what you did and I didn't do this week? Well, come on now, who's the greatest? Which one of us? Who did the most? Who did what Jesus wanted? Who, we break out that spreadsheet. Who can show that we checked all those boxes, that we got all this, all of our ducks in a row? Who's the greatest? See, that's what they were doing. If I acted that way, if you acted that way, there'd be a problem with that, wouldn't it? What would you think of that person? And yet when we saw this and Jesus said, listen, what Jesus said, do for the less fortunate. You'll be a servant of all. That will be the greatest. We forget that he was answering a question. These people were arguing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's the difference between a servant's mentality and a hypocrite. Now, I didn't catch it. Not at first, as the years that I've read it. I'm not saying because you didn't catch it, because I didn't catch it, that we're hypocrites. What I'm saying is, understand the difference in the mindset that Jesus is talking about. Understand the difference. You can be in church and you can be a million miles away. You can be a million miles away and want to be in church. Big difference between true worship and people who come to honor him with their lips. Big difference, isn't it? Jesus is answering a question that he didn't have anything to do with. He didn't ask them which one was going to be the greatest, did he? He didn't ask them that. They were asking themselves that, and he answered a question. Luke 17, 1 through 4. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. See, he said that it's impossible for us not to mess up while we're learning. It's impossible for us not to grow and mature and realize how we acted before. One of the greatest things that happen in a child to a parent's relationship is when they grow up and they realize when the child truly transitions into an adult and they have their own family and these things, and they look back and they see the problems and how silly they were and how great they had it, and they couldn't see that. And by the time they do, it's too late. It's just too late. Too much water's gone. It's just too late. And then when your child, when you're raising them, you think you're going to do a better job. You think you're going to do a better job. My dad wasn't here. He just gave us money. So I'm not going to give him money. I'm going to be there. And you know what the child wants? He just wants money. It's like it doesn't matter what you do, the opposite is going to happen. He says it's impossible that no offenses should come. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to have a lot to clean up. Not that we can clean up a lot of it, because really, what can you do with your relationship with your parents from 10 years ago? You can't do much with that. And if they've died, you can't do anything about it. Nothing. It's impossible that offenses should come. Impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. You see, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, watch the mindset that causes the problems that these things happen. Do you have a hypocrite mind? Is your mind full of hypocrisy, or is it full of service? He said, watch, but woe unto them by whom they come. He's saying when he's been shown these things and we grow and we mature and we still don't grow out of where we came from, He says, verse 2, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. He said, take heed to yourselves. See, the title of the sermon is Look Inside. Can I see inside of you? I can see inside your ears. You know what your ear looks like way down in there? Over the years, you get a hairy raisin stuck way down in there. I know because they've cleaned my ears out and pulled it out. It's kind of nasty, right? Seeing your mouth, right? The food that you thought that wasn't there was. See, if I look inside of you, I just see some nastiness, right? I don't see much different when I look inside myself. I can't see inside my own mouth or my ears. But I understand when I look inside myself. See, this is what he's saying right here. He's saying, take heed to yourselves because you don't want to be the one through whom the offense has come. I don't want anybody to leave. And if you do leave, I don't want you to leave because you're mad at me. I want you to leave because God has stepped on your toes. But you know, the one thing that typically happens is I get in the way of that. It's my personality that you don't like. It's my address to the crowd that you don't like. The way I dress, the way I look, the way I act, the way I talk. I get in the way. And so you cease to hear God and you look at me. Right? That's why this is over here. Because it's not about me, it's about Him. Right? I'm just some guy up here that's trying to show Christ in his life. That He means something to me. But He said, take heed to yourself. And He tells you, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. That's not what we do. It's not so hard to forgive. You know, they come and he's like, dude, I'm sorry. You know? And we're like, oh, it's okay. You know what we don't say? Yeah, I'm kind of sorry for all the things I said about you when you weren't there. Right? That's not what we say, is it? He said, take heed to yourself. Your brother just apologized to you. Saying I'm sorry is pretty easy. Rebuke him? Oh, we don't tell our friends that. What are you doing, man? What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm having fun. We shouldn't be having fun that way. Well, you're going to tell me, now you're going to tell me how to have fun. You've been doing it all this time, and now you're going to tell me how to have fun. I don't know. I just don't want to be a part of that anymore. Oh, okay, so now I'm the bad guy. You're the Christian. You're the great one, and I'm just the piece of trash, piece of garbage, right? You don't have fun with me no more, right? Now I'm the bad one. I did this to this guy one time years and years ago. We were unloading a truck, and all he was doing was talking about his accomplishments with women and drinking and money. And he was just on and on and on, and he was getting on my nerves. Hot, I'm upside of truck unloading stuff. It's heavy. And I'm like, dude, doesn't anything in your life warrant some sort of conversation besides women, drugs, and money? I said, talk about something else. And then I felt, as soon as those words come out, I felt terrible for saying it, right? I felt like a fool. I felt like an idiot for saying it. Like, gosh, I never know when to keep my mouth shut. Because, I mean, the conversation was a little more than that, and I was definitely a lot louder than that, and we're inside of a truck, and I can be aggressive. And so I just felt stupid. But, you know, later that night, he come to me, and he said, you know, I never thought about that. I never thought about that. All that was on my mind all the time was what you said. And he said, I think about other things. You see, he was... That rebuke did something to him. Planted a seed. Caused him to think. And I had no strong animosity against him. I wasn't mad at him. I was more mad at myself for opening my mouth. But he says if he repents, forgives him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Wow, that's really a tough thing to do. That's really a tough thing to do given the circumstances of what just went on. And I wanted to tell the man, I wanted to say, you know, I'm sorry for what I said. Paul said, I said it, and I wish that I hadn't have said it, but look at what it produced in you. And so I couldn't tell him that I was sorry that I'd hurt his feelings. I couldn't tell him that I was sorry that I'd upset him, because it would take away everything that God was doing at that time. So I had just to accept that I looked like a fool and that God had worked through my foolishness because I had rebuked this man like I had any right to say anything to anybody else. But it did something. It did something in his life. It caused him to take heed to himself. That's what it did. You see, in wondering who is the greatest, we will develop a competitive mindset and work hard to prove in the best possible moment that's going to make us look the best and others look the worst that we are truly a hard-working Christian. We don't wonder who's the best. I look at you and that never crossed my mind, who is the best. I think that you have overcome extremely dark and devastating obstacles to simply be here this morning, because there's a million things that you could do better, and the first part of that was to never have gotten out of bed. That was the first part. Just not gotten out of bed. Didn't you want to lay there a little bit longer? Didn't you want to have a different sort of breakfast than whatever you grabbed or chewing air coming here to church? We don't want to wonder who is the greatest. We want to understand that we're all in a great fight. You see, here is Jesus not answering a question. He's not answering a question in this instance, but he's warning us of unforeseen consequences of our actions. If we develop a mindset that we don't start at the question that people who disputed among themselves on the road, they were wondering who was the best, and they only looked at Jesus' answer, and from that point went forward, he says that there's going to be unforeseen consequences, and that is that if you only start at the answer to the question, don't evaluate the question, and just move forward, then you're going to develop a competitive mindset on who's the best. You won't say that, but it'll be evident. It will be evident in what you talk and how you say and what you do. It will become evident. But Jesus is not answering a question here. He's warning us. So instead of thinking, I do for the poor and needy, I give everything I have. Yeah, everyone knows that if what you're thinking, you are thinking to yourself. Rather, the statement of Jesus should make you think what? You see, when he says that I'm servant of all and I give to all, and he says here that we come to a place where our brothers get mad at us, we'll get mad at them, they'll come back and repent, they'll do it over, they'll repent, those kind of things. Instead of us looking at that and thinking that that's saying that we're so great because we're not the ones tying a millstone, what should be the first statement of Jesus here that we should think of? Remember when we asked the question, who was the greatest, we focused on Jesus saying, if anyone deserves to be first, he shall be last. That's where our focus was. But when we read this statement in Luke, where should our focus be? Have I done, or am I doing, or will I do this to someone else? Do you think when you read this statement that you're capable of tying a millstone around someone's neck and casting them into the sea? You wouldn't think that you would do this, right? You wouldn't think that your words would cast one around your neck, would you? Jesus is warning you here that when you become this type of person, he warned the hypocrite, when you become this type of person, Jesus said that all these things you have done, he said, but because of your actions, people are falling away. And he says, if this happens, he says, you are tying a millstone around your own neck being cast into the sea. And the first question we should ask ourselves is, are we capable of doing something like that? Is this what I'm doing? Every statement that Jesus speaks that you're reading, you know who he's talking to? Well, he's talking to me, right? So when you're reading, he says, oh, he's talking to Calvin. I tell you, at Calvin. He's shifty. No, if you're reading it, you know who he's talking to? If I'm preaching and you're sitting here, I'm preaching to the hearts and souls that are here, including my own. You don't think when I read stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, I never realized that. Remember, and you think, oh, come on now, you're just trying to be dramatic. Remember I told you in the very beginning that I always thought I could get out of stuff until I got somebody to tell me, you need to consider the consequences. See, I wasn't thinking right. And so when we read this, and I read this, and I think about these things in these lessons, and I work them out, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, how did I not know this? Exodus 12, 22-23, the title of this sermon is Look Inside. And so we've looked inside of ourselves, but I want us to see a different way of thinking about this. I want us to see this. Exodus 12, 22-23, this is when the children of Israel were being delivered from Egypt and the death angel was coming through. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in blood, which I think that's some sort of flour or something that would absorb blood and you could sprinkle with it and stuff. And he says, you take that hyssop, a lot of it, and you dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and it was the blood of the lamb, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And the doorpost, or what hold up the door, and the lintel, I guess, is the, for whatever reason, they call that going across, so that you put the blood over and coming down the sides. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees that blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, he didn't say just on the lintel or on the doorpost. He said on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house and to strike you. What has this got to do with anything? Because we got like 5, 6, 7 minutes till 12, right? And so I've been preaching all this time and talking about, and now I bring up the death angel coming. What has this got to do with anything? And when I saw this, it amazed me, right? The Lord did not check who inside the house was worthy. He didn't open the door when he saw that blood. He didn't open the door and say, oh, you're in here? And you're in here. Come on now. This is tough right here. Just playing around looking at people. But he didn't do that, did he? He saw the blood. He didn't open the door. He didn't look inside to see who was worthy. He didn't look inside because he saw the blood. You know what that blood means? That blood means that you're learning. That blood means that you were a hypocrite and you're trying to come out of that. That blood means that you were a sinner and you have been saved. Not that you're not a sinner, you're a forgiven sinner. That blood meant that you had the mercy of God on you. He didn't look inside to see how well you were doing. He didn't look inside to see who was in there, what they had done, what they hadn't done. He looked inside. He didn't look inside, excuse me. He saw that blood. That's pretty amazing to me. Because see, the type of people we are, Jesus didn't have to look inside to see who was inside. You know why? Because he knew no one in there was worthy. He'd look at you. He'd look at me. I'm sitting here, right? He didn't need to see my face to know if I was worthy or not. The answer is no, I'm not. I'm not. But he asked me to do this. He said, do this, and I will pass over. And they did it, and they cowered in that room when they heard the screams and they heard the death angel. I don't imagine this was a quiet time. And they were scared, but they had the mercy of God on them. And their deeds and all the things that they had done or not done, he didn't look inside to see who was the greatest. I guarantee you one thing, the people in that room, they didn't look around and wonder who was the greatest. But see, the type of people we are is we would have looked inside thinking we were worthy to determine who wasn't worthy. That's what we do. And you want to know where I'm at with this? You talk about teaching and thinking that never teaches me. I said, we wouldn't have looked inside. And I thought, no, I'll change that to some. You know why I was going to change it to some? Because we meant everybody, including me. And I thought, I'm doing exactly what this sermon says. Because in that moment, when I asked myself, would have I opened the door? I didn't think. Remember when I said, who do you think? Who was the first person that came to mind when who's worthy of the blood of God? Did you consider yourself first, or did you put us all in a group? You see, I didn't consider myself that I was one of those people that would have opened that door. And I'm a fool, because I would have opened the door. And so I changed it back to we, so that I included all of us. Because see, we're all growing and learning. And God doesn't, when He sees that blood, He doesn't look inside and condemn you for your sins. He doesn't condemn you for what you've done. You will be condemned for what you're doing. Not what you've done. That's amazing to me that what I've done in the past has been forgiven. And God said, look, we're on level ground right now. What are you going to do with that? And so when I see that, we would have been ones that open up that door. No, I'll change it to some. What an idiot. But in that moment, I saw that sermon right there is telling me that, nope, I'm one of those people that's being preached to. And so I changed it back, and here we are, right at the end. But when I saw this picture here of the blood and that statement, the Lord did not check who was inside, the house was worthy, I was like, that's a sermon right there. The Lord didn't look inside. He didn't open that door to find out who the kids were back there. But when that door's shut and once somebody's back there, you know what that means? We have kids. Do we care which kids? Whose kids? How many? No, we care that we have kids back there. It's a mindset. Who is worthy of the blood of God? First need to say to myself, I'm not. And then when I look at you, I realize, and I look at us, right? I realize, wow, we're really in a fight. And when it says the devil sneaks around and comes around and comes at you in ways you wouldn't think, he sure does. He sure does. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, he had to deal with that blood that was shed on the cross. He had to deal with that blood that was shed through the law with all of those animals. He had to deal with the blood sacrifice that God had instructed to his people. He had to deal with that blood. And how he had to deal with that blood is what he had to realize that what he preached, he was going to die for. They would be willing to die for. Because that's what he told Jesus. I'll go with you to hell and back. Moses said, Abraham said, when God told him to take his son up on the mountain and slay him, never said that what he was going to do after that. He said, you take him up and offer him a sacrifice. Abraham, when he left the group and he's walking up the mountain, he said, me and the lad are going up yonder to worship, and we will return. God had promised him that through that child. And Abraham had no idea how that was going to happen. And when Peter said, I will die for you, he had no idea the death that he would actually die. And that was telling people the truth. Right? If you rebuke your brother, rebuke your friend, and they repent, you forgive them. Peter dealt with that blood. He told Israel it was on their own hands, and the only way to be clean of it was to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be immersed, right? And the Bible says, and I think it's 1 Peter, the Bible says that it doesn't remove the filth from the flesh, but it was the answer of a clean conscience towards God. So Peter dealt with that blood. He applied it to the doorpost and the lintels. And you know what? Why it said both is because God said, whether if you turn to the left or you turn to the right, He said, keep your eyes focused above. No matter what we do, no matter what we do, we have to deal with that blood because He shed it and we're going to answer for it. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?